540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Breaking news from Italy. A court in Florence has just reconvicted American Amanda Knox of slander 17 years after she was exonerated in a murder case. Correspondent Chris Livesay is at the courthouse.
It was the trial that enthralled two continents. Amanda Knox was wrongfully convicted for the grisly murder of her British roommate Meredith Kircher when both were studying abroad in Italy. At just 20 years old, the college student from Seattle had barely started learning Italian when she had to fumble through hours of grueling interrogation, often without an official interpreter or her lawyer present. It was in this traumatized and sleep-deprived state, she says, that she mistakenly identified Patrick Lumumba as a suspect. For that misstep, she was convicted of slander.
Knox has been sentenced to 3 years, but it does count as time already served. Officials in Lebanon say a suspect was shot and taken into custody today after an attempted attack outside the entrance to the U.S. Embassy near Beirut. The embassy says no staffers were injured in the half-hour gun battle. Shooter's motives unclear. Lebanese media have published photos showing him wearing a black vest with the words Islamic State written in Arabic. As President Biden flew to Paris this morning for D-Day observations, his new policy kicked in at the U.S.-Mexico border, allowing immigration officials to deport migrants without processing their asylum claims when average daily crossings reached 2,500. Republicans like Texas Governor Greg Abbott are critical.
What must be done actually is to enforce the laws that are already on the books by the United States of America. Biden says he needs more laws. He's flat out wrong about that.
The ACLU says it'll sue. Hunter Biden's ex-wife and his brother's widow, with whom he had a relationship, could testify today at his federal gun trial. CBS's Erica Brown is in Wilmington, Delaware.
Prosecutors told the jury no one is above the law and addiction may not be a choice, but lying and buying a gun is. Hunter Biden's defense team argued Biden did not consider himself an addict at the time.
AT&T says it's fixed a glitch that prevented cell phone users from getting through to people who use other carriers. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
A lot of people don't have landlines in their homes anymore. And so in these instances, suddenly you're facing a breakdown in communication with the rest of the world.
The incumbent has won a primary election in New Jersey's 10th congressional district, but there's a hitch. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
Democratic voters picked the much-beloved Congressman Donald Payne Jr. for a House seat. The only problem, he had a heart attack and died in April. He held his seat for more than a decade and was running unopposed.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has filed felony charges against two attorneys and an aide of former President Donald Trump. Kenneth Chesbro, Jim Troupas, and Mike Roman are facing charges of forgery for submitting paperwork falsely claiming Trump had won Wisconsin in the 2020 election. Call says the investigation is ongoing.
We're going to follow the facts wherever they lead. The investigation is not focused on any particular person, but on those facts and what information we can gather.
Each felony charge is punishable by up to 6 years in prison and fines up to $10,000. Chesbro, Troupas, and Roman are due in court on September 19th. A woman from Madison won the Ironman European Championship on Monday in Germany. It was 39-year-old Jackie Herring's first Ironman in 9 years. Herring is expected to race in the Ironman World Championship in September. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers fall in extras. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Philadelphia defeated Milwaukee 2-1 in 10 innings yesterday. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers had their opportunities.
We had opportunities. We didn't get the ball in the air one time. We didn't make contact in the outfield a couple times, and we had opportunities to take the lead.
The Brewers and Phillies play this afternoon as Milwaukee tries to avoid the sweep. Packers OTAs continue this week. Coach Matt LaFleur says the team's got a good energy.
I think every time we step in the meeting rooms, there's been great energy, great interaction with the guys. I think that's part of the process is just how we can come together, and I think that's a great part of the offseason.
That's a sentiment shared by wide receiver Bo Melton.
You can tell as soon as you walk in the locker room, we just play games together, just chill together, you know, play basketball, anything. And so we go out on the field, the same thing. We all work hard. So we love the vibe. We love the energy that we bring into the team right now.
For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A few lingering clouds this morning, then mostly sunny this afternoon with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thundershower by late afternoon or early evening. Our high 76, the wind west at 10 to 20 today. Tonight 58, tomorrow partly cloudy, breezy, high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it is 66.
Maggie Dawn.
Day three of Biden's top 100. We're going to be joined by Bob Lord. Patriotic Millionaires will break down how we should be taxing the richest corporations in America.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Shaw. WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, this works better when you unmute. Good morning. Welcome back. It is 7:06 on this Wednesday morning, June 5th. Nice to have you back on Up North News Radio. Busy hour ahead. We've got Eric Wilson standing by, one of the three candidates in the August Democratic primary for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. And in our homeroom segment, summer school gets a makeover. It used to be seen as a punishment for low grades, but now it's also filled with all kinds of opportunities for learning new things as well as remedial reviews. If you missed our discussion in the last hour or any of our programs that we've run in the past, just head over to civicmedia.us, and that's where you can find stations around Wisconsin that are part of the Civic Media Network, all the shows, and listen to past episodes as well. But if you'd like to join this episode, our number here is 855-75-CIVIC. Comments on Facebook include from Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy with light rain and 63. 7/10 of an inch of rain since yesterday afternoon. There were some trees down about 4 miles east of Wittenberg off 29, he says. So I hope my birthday gets better weather-wise. He notes that Robert Kennedy was assassinated on his birthday when he was 1 year old. We hope, Rob, you have a great birthday today. And Alicia writes in that she's in Madison, where it's cloudy and 66. It is 58 here on Lake Wissota, where we bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Still suffering through those summer allergies or spring allergies.
Yes, I am.
I thought we'd get you enough rain to kind of bring the pollen down today, but not so much.
How are
you otherwise?
Otherwise, I am good. You know, it's good news that a lot of these storms didn't do much across the state. Like mm-hmm. they said, just trees down in Shawnee was the worst that I saw. Mm-hmm. 65 mile per hour gust, I think, in Bevent. Wow. And some nickel sized hail. But that was about it. Now, the front is wrapped right now all the way from Ironwood through Wausau and down in towards hitting Madison at the moment. It's going to keep working its way east through the state and will be done on the east side by about 10 a.m. That's when everything should be wrapping up and kicking out of here. And by the way, behind this cold front is some sunshine. So western parts of the state already waking up to a bright day. We all will see some sunshine throughout the afternoon. But then we've got a secondary cold front that wraps down. And what that's going to do is just spark up some scattered showers. So I call those little popcorn showers because you're going to see them just popping up all over the radar there. They're not going to be strong. They're not going to be severe. It's just going to be some scattered showers. I think they'll start around northwest Wisconsin around 2 o'clock this afternoon, working their way southeast throughout the state and kind of winding down by about 10 o'clock tonight. So nothing too crazy there, but high is taking a little hit into the low to mid 70s today.
After as warm and humid as it was yesterday, it is just sunny and delightful up here now, but definitely cool.
Yes.
But you know, in a good, refreshing kind of way, not one that we want all summer long, but this'll do. Brittany, yeah. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Feel better soon. Now at just about 7:10, let's do our Scani summer statewide Text to Win contest. Here's how it works. You get that Civic Media app out. You go to one of the stations that is playing Up North News Radio, for example, 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls, and use the text feature to text this hour's keyword. And that puts you in the running. We draw one of those entries randomly, and you have your chance to win a Wisconsin Dells prize pack, maybe Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats for a game, and you will also be a finalist for grand prizes that include a lake house giveaway, a trip to Door County, or an escape to Lake Geneva. So again, head to that Civic Media app, get set to text this hour's keyword. It's POP. P-O-P. POP. Now, here's the thing. And, you know, I'm not an employee of Civic Media, so I don't technically have bosses. So here's my memo to them anyway. I looked at all these keywords. I know them all. I got them. It's a secret. POP is in there. There's no soda. I don't know. It sounds like a scandal in the brewing to me. But POP is this hour's keyword. You have until 8 o'clock to text that through the Civic Media app and be entered for your chance to win prizes on the statewide texting contest known as Scotty Summer here on Civic Media. At 7-Eleven, let's turn back to our series of interviews, catching up with the three candidates in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary. That's the district currently represented by Derek Van Orden, a Republican in his first term. So this is his first run for re-election, and there are three candidates looking to take him on the Democratic side. We talked to State Representative Katrina Shankland yesterday. We'll talk to Rebecca Cook tomorrow. Joining us for the rest of this half hour from the Eau Claire area is Eric Wilson. Eric, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you along here. Thank you so much for joining us and letting us get caught up with you again, as we did earlier in the year, as things were just getting going. We're at the point now, we've just passed the deadline for turning in enough signatures on nominating petitions so that you qualify to get on the ballot. So this will be breaking news if I don't get the answer I think I'm going to get. But Eric, are you on the ballot?
We're on the ballot.
Okay. See, now that would have been big if you come on here and say, nope, Pat, we didn't make it. See you later. Bye. No.
Nope, we are on the ballot. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, I'll go right at one of your social media posts about it said that, you know, there is a progressive alternative on the ballot. Now, there are three Democrats running in this race. Talk to me about that choice of words, the way that you describe yourself, how you think you would differentiate yourself between Representative Katrina Shankland and Rebecca Cook. What's your own pitch to Democratic primary voters?
Yeah, I mean, I am the progressive candidate in this race. I'm the only one of the three of us that is fighting for Medicare for all. I'm the only one that is in favor of student loan forgiveness. I'm the only one that has called for a ceasefire. And the only one talking about responsible gun ownership as well. I mean, it's an issue that we have to be talking about. This district is actually gerrymandered to be blue and has six different college universities. And those are some of the topics that we need to be talking about to get younger voters out. If we don't lean into those, if we don't stand by our Wisconsin values of taking care of people and talking about the difficult issues, we won't get people out in November.
It's a very fair point, and one that comes up frequently in a swing district like this, where, as you said, it was drawn to be blue for reasons that involve yours truly, but we'll get into that another time. But at the same time, it is narrowly split. We saw that in the last race where Brad Paff lost narrowly to Derek Van Orden, much more narrowly than people were initially predicting. So we see the perspective there for a tight race. So it's your sense that by running as the most progressive candidate, rather than, you know, another political strategy would be to run toward the middle and try to win that way. You know, tell me about the value of running the way that you are in such a tightly split district.
Yeah, I mean, Bernie actually won this district during his primary. Janet won 55% of this district on a progressive message. Tammy won 55% of this district on a progressive message. And I guess it's not really progressive. It's more the Democratic message, right? Like Medicare for all has been a message for the Democrats for a long time. And so it's just having a concise ticket from top to bottom and talking about the issues as a collective and how we're all going to solve this together.
So let's start with one of those issues, and that would be Medicare for all. And it's kind of like the, you know, the Green New Deal, in that you kind of have to explain, because you could do it in various ways. How would you describe the way that you would like to see Medicare for all structured if it could be implemented nationwide?
Yeah, how I would like it is, I mean, it's everyone is covered. So we are all paying in together, and it actually brings costs down because we don't have the margins, the increase for people that aren't covered. And so you wouldn't have to worry about if you can afford to go to the doctor or not. You wouldn't have to worry about, can I go get my cancer treatment this month because it's $1,200 and I don't know if I can afford it. You wouldn't have to worry about getting a checkup or going in, or you break your leg but you're afraid to go in because you don't know what it's going to cost. And so medical debt is one of the huge drivers of bankruptcy in this country. And so it's, if we were to implement a universal healthcare system, a Medicare for all system, you'd be covered and you wouldn't have to worry about those things. You'd have mental health access, you'd have vision, you'd have dental, you would have your health.
And so where I want to differentiate that is, you just mentioned, you know, vision and dental and things. Part of what Congressman Mark Bocan told us just yesterday is helping to undercut traditional Medicare are these Medicare Advantage plans that provide these extra things that traditional Medicare currently doesn't have. But in the process, you know, these Medicare Advantage plans, which are, you know, for private insurance companies, can lead to confusing billing and can drive up medical debt. So when I talk about differentiating Medicare for all, I'm saying it wouldn't just be traditional Medicare for all. It would be with all of the other features it currently doesn't have. And I'm assuming you would not have a Medicare Advantage private option as well.
Correct. Yeah, we would get rid of it's Medicare disadvantage. I mean, it's really just taking care of people or taking advantage of people. And so it's expanding Medicare, but the baseline is we are taking care of everyone. We wouldn't have to worry about the situation like we just had in Eau Claire, where two major hospitals closed in 19 clinics just because they can, right? Like, we wouldn't allow a utility company to just turn off 40% of the electricity, but we've allowed private companies to just turn off 40% of our healthcare system within the Eau Claire area. And so if we are going to protect our rural areas and make sure that they have access to healthcare, we're going to have to move to a program that's more like Medicare for all.
We've been talking as well to Congressman Pocan. We talked to Representative Shanklin as well recently about the farm bill debate. And, you know, Derek Van Orden being on the Agriculture Committee, but whether, you know, he has truly done enough for it. So I just wanted to tease that we're going to start our next segment on that, talking about, you know, all of the farm families and the rural businesses, the rural economy in the 3rd District with Eric Wilson. His website is Wilson, F-O-R-W-I, Wilson4WI.com. And we'll talk more about the rural economy in just a bit. The Brewers lost in extra innings. They went to 10 innings in Philadelphia last night, ended up losing by a score of 2-1. They will play again coming up this afternoon. First pitch at 3:05. You can catch the pregame starting at 2:30 on Civic Media Stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. And again, we'll continue our congressional interviews with Rebecca Cook tomorrow, but our conversation with Eric Wilson continues right after this brief break. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. Live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes. That doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hubde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Back now, continuing our interviews with the candidates in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary for August 13th, Katrina Shanklin yesterday, Rebecca Cook tomorrow. Eric Wilson continues with us right now. And before the break, I was starting to ask about the farm bill and rural Wisconsin, the rural economy, and to find out, you know, where what you're telling folks your stance would be on issues related directly to farming and the farm bill and for the rural economy, you know, at large. Tell us more about your stances there, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, what Derek is trying to pass is a disgrace. And it doesn't truly help Wisconsinites in the 3rd District. I mean, there are over 14,000 Wisconsinites that depend on SNAP benefits. And I guess that's one thing to say is the farm bill is not just about farming either. It's about agriculture. It's about climate. It's about broadband. There are a lot of things within the farm bill, but really what we need is someone that's going to be out there advocating for us and for our farmers and making sure that we are helping small farms, right? Like a lot of what is in there actually just helps big farms and gives them the advantages rather than helping support our smaller farmers. Like I was getting into the 14,000 Wisconsinites that are on SNAP benefits. This is a direct attack on them. It's cutting the benefits that they need to, that they're using to survive. And it's also expanding into this bill is attacking marijuana. It's attacking our climate and not allowing subsidies and things for climate or crop insurance, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And we have a record amount of crop insurance payouts, and those are predominantly going to our bigger farms, our more corporate farms. And so while our small farms are still having the damage, they're not getting the relief that the big corporations are.
You mentioned as well on your website that you're a technology professional and understanding, you know, the tools that could make things better or worse from a technological standpoint. You might be part of a small but growing amount of candidates who actually dedicates a section to technology, whether it's artificial intelligence, crypto, blockchains, things like that. What's the importance of having a member of Congress who understands those things? And please don't laugh when I try to mention all of the octogenarians who try to interview some of these CEOs once a year or so when they haul them before Congress.
Yeah, I mean, it's fundamental in how we're going to approach the future. If we don't have representatives that have an understanding of technology, you can't be making legislation that actually is implementable. And we are at a critical time. We've had a black swan event with AI. We don't know where that's going to go. And so part of that and part of the role of Congress is to put the guardrails in and make sure that it is used in positive ways, not negative ways. And with me having a technology background, that helps in a lot of ways. We are building the new, I mean, we have internet, but we are building the new web. And if the United States doesn't invest and jump in and actually build the foundation, it actually could be a national security risk. The foundation would be built by China or other actors. And so we need to be a leader in the technology space, and we need to be talking about it. One other thing that's gonna be pretty relevant, I think, in this election and upcoming elections, and we're seeing it now, is deep fakes, right? Like, we don't know what has been created by AI or not. And so we need to be making legislation to combat that.
What did you, when you said that there was recently a black swan event, what did you mean by that?
I mean, artificial intelligence coming into more of the mainstream, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone has access to this new technology in at least some level. And so it is going to change how we operate, how we work. And it's actually, it's a workers issue potentially, right? Like if people are beginning to be replaced by AI, that's where unions can step in and help protect workers. Mm-hmm. And so these are the types of things that we have to be cognizant of.
You note as well, and you mentioned earlier, responsible gun ownership. Tell the voters in the 3rd District how you define that.
Yeah, I'm not coming to take everyone's guns away, but I do believe in responsible gun ownership in regards of if you need a background check to get a job, you probably need a background check to get a weapon. I also just want to make sure that we are mindful of we don't need weapons of war in our homes. Gun violence and guns are the number one killer of kids, not only in the nation, but in Wisconsin as well. And so I want to make sure that we are having storage laws and making sure that kids don't have access to it. It's really just trying to protect people and kids and make sure that we have a society. I mean, my vision is we have a society where kids don't have to have active shooter drills in school. We can go back to where they just had tornado drills.
Here's a comment. Here's a comment on the text line from Matt in Germantown. I always find it interesting that many people on SNAP benefits vote Republican. But that really gets to the nature of rural America overall, where you have values that would appear to be progressive leaning, but the voting is not necessarily that way. And I think that's why people throughout the country are looking at the 3rd Congressional District as kind of a petri dish of people who actually do have progressive values, but, you know, can vote either way. So when you hear a comment like that from Matt in Germantown, how does that apply to your message to voters in the 3rd?
I think there are a lot of people that have felt left behind and that their voice hasn't been heard. And I think what we need to do as Democrats is we need to do as just as people, as representation, is getting out there and talking to people, showing up and saying, hey, I'm from here. I am fighting for us. I am fighting for you. I am here to listen. And I think that's somewhat that has been lost, right? Derek does not listen to anyone. Derek is just yelling at anyone that disagrees with him. And so I think it's a big component of my campaign to actually get out and talk to people, actually show up where they are and make sure that we're able to have conversations and that they know who I am.
And so to find out more about that, folks that have been watching on social media, we've put up the website on the screen, Wilson for WI, WilsonFORWI.com. Same handle for Facebook and Instagram. I assume that you're communicating regularly through social media as well with voters, in this day and age. I don't know how you can't.
Yeah, absolutely. We are communicating on all social media platforms. And if you ever have questions, there's a contact us portion on my website. And myself or my team will always get back. It's important for me to make sure that people are getting responses to their questions. I mean, that's the role of this job. It's to be representation and to answer questions.
And you have taken part in candidate forums, and you'll be doing so again next week, next Wednesday at Platteville. Civic media stations in and around the area will be covering it next Wednesday, June 12th at 6:30 p.m. Eric Wilson, thank you so much for an update on the congressional campaign. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thank you, Pat.
All right. Coming up next, our homeroom segment takes a look at summer school. It's gotten quite a makeover since you and I saw it as just punishment for low grades. Back after this, you're up north.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You know, today consumers want to know where their food came from and maybe a little bit about the people behind that food. and the Wisconsin farm-to-table dining experience helps them learn more. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. This year, the annual event is headed to Western Wisconsin. We'll introduce you to the host families for the 2024 Wisconsin farm-to-table dining event next.
Are you looking to sell your excess construction equipment? Trust the pros at Steffes Group to get the best return on your investment. Steffes is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. Our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service, and we work with you every step of the way to ensure a smooth and successful auction process. Visit steffesgroup.com to find a sales rep near you and discuss your options today. That's steffesgroup.com. S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com.
This year's Wisconsin farm-to-table dinner event is happening at Creamery Creek Farms, just off the interstate outside of Bangor. Louisa Peterson is one of the owner-operators of Creamery Creek Farms. She said she's been following this event for years and is thrilled to finally be able to bring people to their farm and share their story.
It's a very interesting, intimate dinner setting, multiple courses featuring very hyper-local food that I've always been fascinated with. So the committee found us and set up the proposition, and we said, we're interested. We have unbelievable, interesting things in agriculture and food in our local area that we want to talk about. So, I mean, obviously besides our own products, there's going to be other local farmers here showcasing their vegetables and flowers and other courses. It's a 5-course dinner, so there's with each of those courses, there will be a farmer to speak on their practices and their products and how it got to our table. So it's beautiful.
Louisa Peterson, one of your hosts at Creamery Creek Farms for the 2024 Wisconsin Farm-to-Table Dinner. It starts at 4:30 on Saturday, August 10th. Limited tickets available. You can find out more and secure your spot at wifarmtotable.com or look for Creamery Creek Farms on Facebook.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from 4 geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
More food news available anytime, day or night, at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A few lingering clouds this morning, then mostly sunny this afternoon with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thundershower by late afternoon or early evening. Our high 76, the wind west at 10 to 20 today. Tonight 58, tomorrow partly cloudy, breezy, high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it is 66.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
One of the state's biggest and best farmers markets is right here in Waukesha. Join thousands of your neighbors this Saturday morning between 8 and noon at the corner of St. Paul and Madison along the Fox River. Fresh produce, crafts, flowers, food, and gift ideas of all kinds are on display and on sale. We'll check in live each Saturday morning on WAUK, too. Plan to stock up this Saturday at the Waukesha Farmers Market and stop by our WAUK tent to say hi and register to win a brand new Logger bike. We can't wait to see you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talked to Law Forward about the latest efforts to make it harder for people in Wisconsin to vote. 11 o'clock, the public service announcement. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Well, I know you're mad, Mr. Reed. Rock, 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 and go high school. That's not where I want to be.
our weekly homeroom segment is coming up with in just a moment, talking about the makeover that summer schools are getting compared to back in the day. First, a reminder, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News being a separate entity from Civic Media. Happy to partner with them from 6 to 8 a.m. every weekday morning here on Up North News Radio with you. On the newsletter today, there's a lot there about Steve Stricker as we get set for the American Family Insurance Championship at Madison's University Ridge Golf Course, a tournament he started in 2016, which to date has raised more than $15 million for 140 local charities, as well as the American Family Children's Hospital. So all about Steve Stricker on there. There's a story about the countdown to Summerfest. If you have a Ticketmaster horror story, we'd love to hear about it as we follow the Biden administration cracking down on the Live Nation Ticketmaster monopoly. And then finally, with summer vacation in place for students, how much screen time should they be getting during the summer? How much should they have for screen time versus sunscreen, I guess would be a good way to put it. So look for that article and more in our daily newsletter. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. And speaking of those students on their summer break, we're joined now by Mandy Van Vliet, who is the Executive Director of Teaching and Learning for the Eau Claire Area School District, to talk more about how summer school has definitely changed over the years and is just one great big educational smorgasbord now. Mandy, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's so nice to have you here. And looking through the materials, and it's a big packet of information compared to once upon a time it was, here's your report card. You got a D or an F, and here's either the math, the English, or the whatever course that you have to take. It is so much more than that. Tell us just a little bit about the philosophy behind it in terms of, you know, not just the educational opportunities, but, you know, allowing students to stay, you know, safe and healthy. And I think you even describe it as staying challenged and engaged.
Yes, absolutely. One of our goals has been in the Eau Claire School District is to create summer programming. And it just a little change in language there, you might notice, is we try not to call it summer school just because of that idea on what kids think of summer school, but summer program. And we've been very intentional as a district to try to create summer program that stretches across the complete summer as much as we can. So that has been one of our goals, is to provide a variety of opportunities to meet the needs and interest levels of all of our age students. So as we consider that, we have that shift in language as summer program to really change that idea that summer school is not a bad thing. We want kids to stay engaged throughout the summer, certainly to prevent that summer slide, but it's a great opportunity to expose kids to new learning, new activities, explore their interests, and to continue to develop their skills in different areas.
So many of them, and we're going to talk about that, but let me take care of that one remedial part first, and that is that students who did have difficulty, they too still have opportunities in the summertime to again try to catch up and maybe get a little bit more attention than they got during the school year with larger classes.
Yes, we do have that, especially at our high school level. We have an opportunity for students to retain their credits, so that credit recovery piece, and also for our students in elementary and middle school. And these are some of the things that are not actually published in our book because they come from like an invite only for students that need additional support or intervention in math or reading to continue that over the summer, so we can continue to make those gains. So those opportunities are still there for those students, elementary, middle, and high school as well.
But the opportunities, not just through the school district, but through all kinds of community partners that allow for everything that ranges from, you know, not just the writing, math, language, arts classes. There's healthy habits. There's sports officiating. There's the history of piracy. There are athletic camps, career exploring, Beaver Creek Reserve, you know, for learning more about nature. How did it get to this point to provide so many different opportunities? It just seems like such a daunting task, but such a, you know, an amazing setup that's there for school kids, you know, around the Eau Claire area.
Yeah, we have, we partner, this year we'll be partnering with 21 community partners, and it's an opportunity for us to work with our community organizations to create opportunities for students. And one of our goals on both the school district side and the partner program side is to keep fees minimal or 0% or zero, and we pick that fee up. One of the things that we try to do is, so our school program typically runs in the morning, and then we partner with our community organizations for that afternoon program. Not all of them, but we do try, our goal is to keep fees minimal. And again, trying to extend that program across June, July, and August to keep our students engaged in activities across the summer.
Some of those community partners for the Eau Claire District include the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild, the YMCA, Girls on the Run. I really like this one, the Junior Achievement Culinary Entrepreneur Food Truck Camp.
That's one of the favorites for sure. Well,
I can completely understand why. But let's also talk about the value of this to families, especially families in challenging circumstances. And we're doing that with Mandy Van Vliet, the Executive Director of Teaching and Learning for the Eau Claire Area School District. You know, there are certainly issues where families don't have access to cars. They need transportation, but also access to meals. You know, during the summer months, you don't have that regular school lunch. And yet there are kid meals options available during the week and as well on the weekends. Talk a bit more about how families in challenging circumstances can find value in these summer programs.
Yeah, we certainly recognize that we have summer food programs throughout the school year, and we recognize that sometimes summertime can be a gap in that. So a number of years ago, we partnered with Feed My People Food Bank to continue this program throughout the summer. And students that are in the area, along with all of their siblings and families, can come in for free breakfast and lunch at any of our sites. And there's a schedule that families can look at. And they don't even have to be enrolled in the actual summer program. They can just come in for free breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, no cost, no income requirements, no guidelines, and you're free to withdraw from the program at any time as well. What about students who are attending private schools or who are being homeschooled?
Yep, as long as they live within the Eau Claire boundary, we invite them to attend our summer school program as well. And the same with our partner programs, to keep those fees minimal as well, as we cover the cost for those students as well.
To what degree is something like this funded through the normal process that we talk about so much during the regular school year? I would imagine with these community partners, you maybe have that, or maybe there's grants or underwriters, local dollars, state aid. Is there a big difference in summer programs versus the traditional school year?
There is. It's a very complicated formula, but I guess the best way to explain it right now is, and this is one of the reasons why we want to provide summer program besides just keeping our students engaged. But we do, a good way of saying is, we do get reimbursed back money for providing summer school opportunities for students. So it, like I said, it's a pretty complicated formula with the number of minutes and such that students are engaged in activities. And so it certainly costs us money as a district to do so, but we do receive money back to help cover the cost of summer school as well.
Well, I'm not surprised to hear that it's a complex formula. No. There's nothing about school funding, and that's not just Wisconsin. It's a national thing that we've really turned it into the ultimate math problem, which is why we need more people who are good at math to track the way that these things are done. Mandy, when I look at this, and look, even when I was making the transition from middle school to high school a very long time ago, but I was so surprised back then to see that it wasn't just a remedial aspect that, I was going to be taking a foreign language, and I could see that I could, spend a couple of mornings a week in the summertime, brushing, or a couple of hours every morning during the summer brushing up on language. There just seems to be such a philosophy here of broadening opportunities for students that it almost makes you wonder if there were ways we could, continue this well beyond the summer and make this a year-round, kind of opportunity.
Right. One of the things that we also do without realizing it is, so as students are transitioning to different levels, so our incoming kindergartners for next year can enroll in the kindergarten summer school, for example, or if you're an incoming sixth grader, you can attend the middle school program And same thing for high school. So it's a great way for our students to start transitioning to the school that they will be attending in the fall. And kids become comfortable with the school and things like that. One of our challenges as a district right now, and we're going to continue to build on this, is having the capacity, whether it's teachers to teach the courses, support staff to help and assist in the classrooms. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do, is to continue to expand our resources so that we can meet the needs of our students. And that is the challenge once the school year starts. Many of our teachers that teach throughout the school year also do summer school, and which is fantastic, but just really trying to be thoughtful with our resources and to not overextend ourselves. But some of the many club type activities do continue throughout the school year for after school programming as well.
I like when you talk about transitioning to a new school, because that's basically what I had done, was transitioning from middle to high school, but also transitioning into certain subject areas. For example, at the high school level, there's one called Jump into AP. And so, you know, for people that might not be familiar with or not sure if advanced placement classes are right for them, they can take a look at that. The same goes with, you know, like I said, foreign languages, arts, things like that, where it's almost a trial, you know, and see what you think of it, a trial period.
Absolutely. We try to create activities that allow students to explore interests and also to deepen their skills in some areas that they already know that they're interested in. But it's a kind of a risk-free time for students to try some things out, to better make decisions for what their, especially in high school, their schedule can look like.
You know, then back to something that's more foundational for some families about this. We've been talking at length about the childcare crisis, you know, across the state, across the country, that frankly, you know, whatever the educational component is, whether it's a math class or band or theater or arts or whatever, you know, again, this is an opportunity to keep kids engaged in a way that I'm not going to say it's a substitute for childcare, but given the crisis, this certainly is one option compared to, you know, sitting home and watching The Price is Right like I did for a few summers.
Right. And that has been one of our goals, too, is try to remove the barriers for families, whether it's the cost or transportation, so that kids are not sitting on the couch playing video games, or you referenced screen time, trying to minimize that for our students. That has been something that we've been very intentional with, is to, and in our communications with families. So whether it's cost or transportation and meals, really trying to eliminate the barriers for families so that their children are not just sitting on the couch all summer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely hard.
Yeah. And our friend Chris Hambuck-Boyle notes on Facebook, public schools are a community's most valuable resource for children and families. And again, this is something I feel like I've been talking about for years, is we have these buildings that are so valuable that, you know, we should always be looking for ways to put them to use, whether it's, you know, weeknights or weekends or during the summers. And so to Chris's point, I mean, you have such an asset there that you can try to maximize, you know, its use and get value out of it.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, we want to really give back to our community, especially during those summer months, and provide opportunities for families and students to come into our buildings and not just have this big gap. You know, they're not just engaged in schools and our public schools from September to May. We want to keep serving them throughout the summer months as well, the best that we can.
And now, obviously, a lot of our discussion was around Eau Claire. Not every district has the exact same summer program, but if this has piqued your interest, it may be too late for this summer for some things, but maybe not for all of them, especially if they're community partners. So contact your local school district for more information about that. Mandy, it was so great to talk to you. Thank you so much. Mandy Van Vliet is the Executive Director of Teaching and Learning for the Eau Claire Area School District. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you for having me.
So nice to have you here. When we come back, Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show is going to join us, tell us what he's got coming up this afternoon on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Flood risk can change over time, and a community's flood insurance rate map shows how those risks could affect you. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has developed preliminary flood insurance rate maps for Washington County. FEMA also provides an appeals process for anyone with information that may change their flood hazard determination. To view maps, find a property's risk level, and details on the appeals process, please visit dnrwi.gov and search Washington County Flood Maps. This message is brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and FEMA.
Ask yourself, why massage therapy? With benefits like muscle relaxation, improved circulation, tension alleviation, stress reduction, and enhanced mental focus, the answer is simple: investing in your health. Your journey to wellness begins at Fanny's Body Sculpt in New Berlin. They offer a Brazilian lymphatic drain massage to detoxify your body, reduce water inflammation and retention, as well as shape your silhouette. Perfect for prenatal, postpartum, and more. Take the first step to a better you. Call 414-499-6308 today.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Tomorrow on the program, our friend Joe Zepecki joins us in the 6 a.m. hour, and then our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, has State Representative Jody Emerson from the Eau Claire area, and that'll be at 7:35 tomorrow morning. Again, another chance to win with the Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win giveaway. You probably get a chance to do that as well on, you know, shows like Matt and Air on Air, and maybe this guy, maybe Todd Alba will give you a chance to win in the Scani Summer Contest as well. Mr. Alba, how are you?
I'm well, other than the old spring allergies are still hanging out.
You too, huh?
Yeah, just one of those things, but hey, I'll take it.
I feel so lucky not to have that, you know, to the extent that you and Brittany Merlot, has it bad. My wife has it bad. I will say that last week, when they were mowing this entire hayfield and getting that taken care of, like almost on cue, my throat gets a tickle. I think you gave it to me. As they were cutting the hay, I was like, oh, this is not good. But it was, you know, gone the next day compared to people that have the whole pollen thing going. And,
that's what mine is.
But, hope it gets better soon for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's talk about, look, I'm sure he's heard it all of his life, talking about the Cheeseboro, Kenneth Chesebro. But, you know, when you come from Wisconsin, you're going to get that happening with your name. There were, for the longest time, it feels like, 2 years or more, State Attorney General Josh Call would be asked all the time, are you looking into the fake electors? Are you going to charge them with fraud or forgery or something? And he'd say, I can't tell you even if an investigation is going on. So finally, we learned yesterday that they were investigating something, and that two of Trump's attorneys, Chesebro and Jim Troupas, along with another aide with Pennsylvania ties, are being charged with felony forgery. Josh Call didn't rule out that there might be more to come. But I just wondered your own thoughts at finally seeing some kind of charges. Is that a good step, or were you expecting more, or were you expecting less? Were you thinking we wouldn't hear anything?
Well, I think anything is good in this regard. I mean, finally starting to file some charges in the Wisconsin case on the 2020 election, trying to overthrow it. We had on our program yesterday, Matt Flynn, of course, an attorney and two-time chair of the Democratic Party, along with some folks at the Lincoln Project. And I think all of our take around that table was good, but why wasn't this sooner and why aren't there more? I mean, people like Ron Johnson, who was he was the voter mule, so to speak, who delivered the fake elector votes to Mike Pence out in Washington, D.C.
I just could not get over the fact, the irony that this week, when Dinesh D'Souza and others had to pull back the 2000 Mules movie and book and admit that it's a fraud, that the people accusing others of mules, Ron Johnson was literally minutes away from being a mule himself. He is denying involvement when the documentation shows that Jim Troupas told him all about the fake electors plot in December. Right. Ron Johnson can play dumb all day long on this. He probably has some practice at it. But the documentation is there. Now, I'm not saying Ron Johnson's going to get charged tomorrow. But let's not let, like Trump, they want others to take the fall for something that they most certainly were involved in. And look, let's take it a step further. Forget Ron Johnson. Yeah. You've got Bob Spindell, one of the fake electors, who is still on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. That's downright criminal. And then you've got Jim Troupas, who, even after all of this was learned about his doings, the state Supreme Court Chief Justice, conservative Annette Ziegler, reappointed Troupas. He is still the judicial ethics advisor for the Wisconsin Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee. Are you kidding me?
Sadly, no. Everything you said is 100% accurate. And that's, I think that's the tragedy of it. And that's what's so disturbing. Look, I don't know Josh Caldwell. I'm sure you probably know better than I do, being a Democratic lawmaker, a former one. The only way I know him is that I was one of the many witnesses in a lawsuit that he helped bring in the private sector against the Walker administration over their voter suppression bills, which I happened to be witness to the creation of. And I worked with him quite a bit, in terms of having interviews with him and preparing for the trial. And I was really impressed with him and how he goes about his business. I'm not friends with him. I don't hang out with him. I'm not in contact. I don't know his thinking. All I can tell you that as an attorney, one time during a federal trial, I was impressed with his process. So I guess I have to still try to, in my own, my personal mind, say, well, I have to trust his process. But it seems to be you see other states bringing charges a lot quicker. And several of these people, to your point, I have been involved in other states where their charge has been brought. I just don't understand the delay. But hey, I'm not an attorney. But at least something's being done. And it's this is, to me, Pat, it's not a sexy issue because people can have a hard time wrapping their mind around it. But to me, it's one of the most egregious and disturbing because it comes down to trying to steal an election, trying to steal the tenets, the foundational tenets of democracy, which is every person's vote.
And having the gall, the absolute gall, to continue to cling to the point of, well, there was somebody was trying to steal the election. We were just trying to defend it. The hell you were. I mean, again, this whole, there were irregularities. No, there weren't. You just didn't like that you lost, or you didn't like that certain people were able to vote, you know, who lived in cities or who don't look like you, but they're still voters. They count as Americans as much as the rest of us. And again, you're proving that if you can't win on the issues, you try to win by cheating. And by the way, these are smart, talented people. Chesbrough and Troupas were well regarded in legal circles. And yet they and a whole lot of other we've talked about this, members of Congress and the legislature, smart people, but they weren't smart enough to know when something ethically was wrong and to walk away. And that's what's so troubling about this day and age.
Well, and to your and to the point, and you and I have talked a little bit about it before, Andrew Hitt, one of the former Republican Party chairman and was somebody who was intimately involved, was one of the fake electors, of course, went on Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes on CBS and said, oh, we are being duped. Well, there is a guy I do know well because we grew up together in Richland Center. He's about 4 years younger than me. We went to our families went to the same church. He is Andrew Hitt. Get this. I know you know this, Pat. An attorney in election law. That's literally what he studied and is in the bar because he's an expert, allegedly, on election law. And he says, oh, geez, I was duped. These people all knew. I know some of these, being a former Republican myself, I know some of these people, they absolutely knew. And now this is the cover up. But at least some charges are being brought.
We're making progress bit by bit. Todd Albo, you hear him again today at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, sir.
We're quite low.
Oh, yeah. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later. Up North News is the Wisconsin Digital Pro-Democracy News Network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks for being here. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Albo Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from Bosch, Lincoln Lawyer, and Bloodline actor Jamie McShane. And Anya Esther joins me to talk about backrooms. If you're curious what that means, join us.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9. 100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and so is the Maggie Dawn Show as she kicks off a special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Certainly, having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 starts this week, a special segment on the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 to 4, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.